Well, it was a big win last night to Gold Coast. Shocking Fremantle at home at Subiaco. The first time the Suns have won in Perth. How did it all happen? We'll ask the coach. Rodney Ean joins us now. Rocket, congratulations. An amazing performance.
Thanks, Adam. Yes, obviously really pleasing the way we went about it. There's a lot to like of it. And I think be able to withstand their challenges in the last half was equally as pleasing as a result.
Gary Ablett said after the game that it was the most significant, the biggest win in the club's history. I know you've only been there a short time. How significant do you think it is as far as you're concerned?
I think it is for self-belief as much as anything. I think what we've been trying to educate and teach probably since halfway through last year, but certainly over the pre-season, and cement that belief. But against a very good side that's been in the finals for a long period of time and obviously a difficult road trip. So to be able to do that, I think it's given the players a great deal of belief. And I think pleasing too that we didn't rely on Gary. Gary played quite well, but he wasn't his dominant self, and a few other senior type players didn't have an enormous influence. So it was the lesser lights, and I think it was a great even contribution.
I remember you said quite a few times in the second half of last year that you were fixing a lot of the problems and you were confident that you'd come out the other side. Can you talk about a few of those things that you're able to sort of emphasise over the pre-season to say, well, look, you know, we've come this far. This is what's now going to happen next?
I suppose when you don't win games, people on the outside don't recognise anything that's been done. It's only internally. So we were really pleased with the growth traction we got in our leadership program. Players getting the idea of hang off what being professional football is about, and training standards, but also we taught them a lot about footy. So I was really pleased with what we were able to gain last half of last year. But then in the pre-season with a new fitness guy on board, most of the guys have had a pretty good pre-season. We've had really good numbers on the track. We haven't got many injuries, albeit two key ones at the moment. So we've got a lot of confidence at it. So we're able to put a lot of footy work into them and, I suppose, develop our defensive and offensive game. And now they're a group that really want to learn. They're a thirst for knowledge. So all those factors thrown in the melting pot, they've really gained some confidence in each other, and I think once you start to get some results, then that obviously further cements that belief. We're 0-2, obviously maybe put a bit of doubt in their minds.
Was there a moment where you thought as coach, yep, I've got them now, I've been able to turn the corner with this group? Was there a moment, was there a match, or is it more a sort of a slow build over a period of time?
It's been a slow build. I mean, we've still got a long way to go. The exciting thing for me is there's still a lot of upside, mate. I can see a lot of area for improvement individually and collectively. But it was probably the Hawthorn game last year when we played in Tassie. We ended up losing by about 8 goals, but we're in front of quarter time, close at half time. And from that moment on, most games that we were in, even with all our injuries, we were in games right to 3 quarter time. And you could see that the penny was dropping and we started to get a bit more belief in each other and the consistency around what was required. So became probably really crystal clear to myself then what needed to be done and where we're headed and where we're going.
You spoke about the injuries you had last year. I guess what that meant was that players got opportunities and you could find out about a few. And even going into this year, albeit the season early, the likes of Hall, Sexton, I'd even throw in Lemons, are players that now know they're AFL players and they're really staying to be very good players for you.
Yeah, they are. Obviously, Hall has jumped up, but the other one, Jesse Lonigan, really has taken a step forward as well. So, no, we've been really pleased with those players that you've mentioned, their growth. We topped up again with some recruits this year. Callum Archie, we think, has been an exciting future. Ryan Davis has done well, even though he's a bit mature in age. But, I think you're right. It's out of all the negatives at times, you find a positive. I think with all our midfield being decimated last year, our top five midfielders being out, now Hall and Lyon have been thrown in there because really it's the thing we didn't have anyone else. And they've really grabbed the opportunity to become good players for us.
I want to ask you about two players that were so good for you last night, and Tom Lynch, who's been a really good player for a long period of time, but maybe hasn't got the recognition if he was playing at another, maybe bigger club. But once again last night, he was just enormous.
Yeah, he was. He's quite an impressive young man, and his leadership qualities are very strong. Great competitor. Probably in the past, his kicking's let him down, but he's really worked hard on that. We've really done a lot of work with him, and last week he kicked 4-1, this week 5-1. So he started to convert and get reward for his effort. So obviously he's a key player for us. But what we're starting to develop, and it's only a small sample so far, is just get a spread of goal kickers, and that's what we need to be able to do. We just can't rely on Tom.
And that other player I wanted to mention was also in the goal kickers, Jack Martin. I remember his first game where he broke his shoulder and it looked like he was about 12 years of age out there, but he's tough as well as skillful. He seems to be the full package.
He is. He's extremely tough. Yeah, he's probably too tough for his own good, I'd imagine now, that I was here. But as a youngster, throwing himself in and not having the body to be able to cope with that. But his ability to mark the ball, but you know, he's got some tricks in his bag. But he doesn't rely on them. His tackling is one of his strong points. As you said, he's tough. He's a good mark. Had a checkered pre-season, a little bit of a few niggles here and there. So probably entered into round one with not having the best pre-season and probably not 100% aerobically fit. But the last two games have started to build on that. So we'd like to play him in the midfield as well, give him good midfield time, because his ability to win the ball in the centre square is going to be a real plus for us.
72 points in the first half, 126 points for the game against Fremantle at Subiaco. That's almost, well, we've all felt that's impossible. How did you do it?
We spoke about before the game about belief and taking the game on. And I suppose I've got an adage, trying to preach to players, that we try and win a game rather than try not to lose. We've got some guys have got some good speed, and just our method about how we're going to use the ball and what we needed to do, and it all sort of fell into place. And I think what helps, it's the most underrated stat in footy, and everyone talks about contested possession. We were beaten easily in contested possession last night, and all these other stats, it's really if you can convert your opportunity. So if you're efficient with the ball, which we went to inside 50 in that second quarter, for I think only a dozen or 14 times, to kick 7 goals. So we're able to convert our opportunities, and we got the ball through quickly. That's what we needed to be able to do. But I was really pleased the way we defended, even though they've kicked 100 points. It's obviously a big ground, there's a bit of space at times if you can use the ground correctly. And Fremantle were able to do that at times, but I thought our defenders defended pretty well.
We're all trying to find early season patterns and trends as to how the game will be played this year. It does appear that the clubs that are being successful are moving the ball really, really quickly, which is one of the features of your game last night. Do you think that's going to continue?
I think it will. I think if you do try and move it too methodically and too slowly, we have a look at Adelaide this day, how quickly they move the ball. Gives a chance to the opposition to set up defensively, and teams do defend pretty well when they're able to get their shape and structure behind the ball the way they want it. So it'll be interesting how that goes. I think the two new rules have helped the ball movement. I don't think the rotations have had an impact yet. I don't think that's affected scoring, because people are scoring in the first half, which has nothing to do with rotations. I think where rotations will kick in will be about round 6, 7 or 8, where the cumulative effect of being fatigued, and we had a few blokes cramp last night, that's when it'll take its toll. As far as that'll be interesting to see how the game goes in, whether there's blowouts, whether teams try and take time off the clock and slow the game down. So that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and you touched on it earlier in this chat about how when Fremantle came at you, you were able to, as a group, stand up to that under heavy fatigue. We saw Richmond unable to do that on Friday night. So I guess that would be arguably the most pleasing part of the performance.
Oh, yeah, for sure, especially with a young group inexperienced group. Them to be able to answer the goal whenever Freo would come at us. And Freo really lifted early in the third quarter. Their pressure went up, and they won clearances. And they started to pepper inside 50s against us, but I thought our defenders stood up. Then we were able to score, be able to keep it reasonably even the second half. And in the last quarter, I think they got within 3 goals. And for us then to always answer that, be able to get the next one, was a really pleasing part of it. And, you know, we probably started to make more mistakes in the second half. In the third quarter, we made some really bad errors that weren't under pressure. And it's very easy for young players to go back in the shell, but they didn't. They kept made a mistake and just got back on the horse again, and obviously kept trying, but kept trying to take the game on. So that was a really pleasing aspect.
You say you've got a young group. Do you have to say anything to them now to keep their heads firmly on their shoulders, or you feel that they've got things under control? Because you look at the draw, Carlton next week, and then you've got the Q clash. It's quite a positive outlook just at the moment.
Yeah, I know. Media hate that cliches, but we just can't afford to get ahead of ourselves. I think it's proven already in 2 rounds, if you don't bring your intensity and effort, you're a chance to lose against anybody. And if you bring it, you're a chance to win against anyone. So people sort of think there's a demarcation line in the competition, but it's not true. I mean, Essendon played exceptionally well yesterday, and they're going to surprise a few teams, and they're going to surprise the competition. So if we don't bring that next week, or if we do bring it, well, now we've got a good chance of winning. If we don't, well, now we can lose. So keeping the heads on the shoulders, I suppose I spoke about that after the listening game, where I wasn't totally content with... they dropped off a little bit at times. I thought last night we kept going. But we need to bring that every week. And with not having too many injuries, no, Rosa and Miller will be back next week. We've got the, I suppose, the integrity of selection to be able to tell players, well, you don't bring it, well, you don't play. So hopefully it's more about that they want to keep the good form going. They want to keep winning, because it's certainly a lot better than losing.
And you mentioned Rosa and Miller. Just an update, please, Rocket, on where Jago O'Meara is and also David Swallow. I know that David's going to be out for quite some time, but how's Jago going?
Jago's going well. He's back running, running really well. Him and David both started to Perth with us. Jago went for a 75K bike ride yesterday and pulled up quite well from that. So he's going well. So when he'll play is hard to pick. What are we around to? Probably, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, we'd hope. Yeah, David will be after the bye at some stage. But he's progressing well also. So, and the good thing is that now the midfield, now Hall and Lonigan jumping in there, and Risher was really sick last night. He got sick during the second quarter and really battled on during the second half for us, just to give us some rotations more than anything, just to be a pig on the ground. So now we've got a reasonably deep midfield, and Miller will be back next week to play in there as well to give us some fresh legs. So we're developing well in that area. So when David and Jager do get back, they haven't got the pressure on them to be the best player.
Rock, I really appreciate your time. I know you're about to jump on a plane. Good luck over the next couple of weeks, and we'll speak to you again soon on Grandstand.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate that, mate.